Chapter 21, and how many of you enjoyed the food? Oh my goodness, my soul. Pastor looked at me and said, I'm glad I don't have to preach tonight. He's over there just, piling it on, amen? And oh my goodness, it was wonderful. I mean, everything was so good. I had the rice, I had the steak and gravy, I had the I think it was potatoes and chicken. I don't know what that was. It was in some type of gravy. That was good. Then I had some scalloped potatoes. And then I had these meatballs. I swear they came from heaven. Amen. But thank you for your hospitality. Let me just tell you, that means a lot to missionaries, especially when you're hospitable. You see, Brother Saunders, every church must be like ours, right? I wish I could say it was that way. Amen. But it's not. Usually there's some churches that... I've actually been in a church where Kelly and I, we sat down everything and a church member walked over to us and said, this is my seat. I got up and moved. Amen. So I'm telling you, you have a wonderful church family here, very friendly people. And I praise the Lord for that. And I praise the Lord for this morning. I told Pastor, I said, I had liberty to preach this morning. And I praise the Lord for that. And tonight's message is going to be a little bit more livelier as well, just because of everything we just consumed. Amen. So if you fall asleep, I'll just preach louder. The sound man will turn my mic up. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Let's stand for the reading of God's word if you're able. And let's look at verse 23 together. And this is the title of the message. It's found at the latter part of this verse. It's only four words, but it's the only place in the entire Word of God where this is mentioned. The Bible says this in verse 23, "And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee. Let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give the oxen also for the burnt offerings, the threshing instruments for the wood, the wheat for the meat offering." And then he says these four incredible words, "I give it all. I give it all." May we pray together. Lord, thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit in this place. Lord, thank you, Father, Lord, for the special music, Lord, this morning and even tonight. Lord, how my heart's been so refreshed. And Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, may you help us, Lord, in this message to come. God, I pray, Lord, may you once again fill me with the Spirit of God. Lord, anoint my mouth, Lord, with your words. And I pray, dear God, Lord, may we leave once again, Lord, challenged from the Word of God. Lord, may we say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the meal that we've received today. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the hands that prepared it. Now, God, I pray, Lord, may you prepare this church, Lord, for this missions conference. Lord, I know that there's a lot of prayer that's gone into this. Dear God, once again, we seek your face. We beg you, we beseech you, Lord, do an incredible work tonight in the hearts of these precious people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. To give you the background of this chapter, it's an incredible chapter. David is now king. And David does something. Anytime you ever talk about the sin of David, most people think of what? Bathsheba. Now, I'm not taking away from the sin of Bathsheba because, yes, that was a horrific sin. The sin between David and Bathsheba, there were two individuals that were killed. Uriah the Hittite and then also the precious baby. Okay. But tonight, you're going to be able to see a sin. It's the sin that you and I struggle with on a daily basis. And it is the sin of pride. And you say, Brother Nathan, does this have to do something with the message? No, this is just the history and the background of what we're about to see. The Bible says here in verse 1, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And in the book of Numbers in chapter 32, God told Israel to never number the people. To never number them. And because if they did so, pride would swell up and God judges David. Bible says in verse 7, "And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel." Of course, David, in verse 8 says, David said unto God, "I have sinned greatly because I've done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." Well, there's a conversation that's going on between David and Gad. Gad is pretty much the man of God that has come to David. And Gad has to deliver the message from the Lord. The Lord says, you got three choices of punishment. It's your choice. Well, anytime anybody ever gives you three choices of punishment, one way or the other, it's still going to hurt, no matter how you want to look at it. Look with me here in verse 13. David said to Gad, "I'm in a great strait." Now, if you don't understand what that means, it means I'm between a rock and a hard place. In South America, it was I'm between the wall and the sword. Okay? Basically the same meaning. It's... No matter how you want to look at it, David's in a bad place. The Bible says this. He says, I'm in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. I need you to understand something. With any sin, there's always consequences. As a pastor, I've heard people tell me, but preacher, my sin only affects me. No, I'm sorry. It affects the people around you. And you're going to see evidence of that even tonight. The Bible says here in verse 14, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel. And read it with me now. And there fell of Israel 70,000. Say that one more time. 70,000 men. Let that sink in. Say it one more time. 70,000 men. But Sergeant, you're telling me 70,000 men died all because of one man's sin? That's exactly what I'm telling you about. That's exactly what I'm saying tonight. 70,000 people have just died. And the Bible says in verse 15, and God sent an angel into Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and he repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed it, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of who? Ornan the Jebusite. Now, I don't know if you're taking notes tonight, but if you are, number one, there's a representation. There's a representation. Ornan represents you and I. He's the everyday, hardworking individual. Ornan's not special. I was telling the teens this morning, God desires to use you. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. God desires to use each and every life that's represented here tonight. Now listen, you can live the depressed life if you want to, but the reason why you're depressed is because you're not finding a reason to live. Being with the sheriff's office, let me just tell you something. I have done my dealings with individuals that are suicidal. I've had people tell me, Brother Saunders, Christians never get suicidal. I beg to differ. In fact, you can find several of them even in the Bible. Okay? You say, well, who? Well, there's Elijah. Found himself underneath a tree. Saul. Even David got to a point where he was just like, I don't know, I think I've just had enough. The problem is we're allowing the things of this world to so easily beset us. We're taking our focus and our attention off the one who we should be living for. So the message tonight is this. I give it all. I give it all. The representation is oriented is just like you and I. How many of y'all know what it's like to work really hard? I mean, with your hands. Hey, amen? I know what that's like. I grew up in the Bahamas. We didn't have electricity or running water. I mean, it was primitive living. I stayed in their homes. They stayed in mine. The rule of thumb was with my dad was if I got to spend the night at one of my friend's house, whatever their family's doing the next day, I was to be a part of that. So if they're working in the fields, I was working in the fields. If they were out fishing, I was to go fishing. I mean, whatever was taking place, I was to help out. That's the way my dad raised me. We came back to the States. My pastor, he was already in his 70s. He asked me if I would like to work for him. I said, yeah, I would love to. He had probably about 30 acres, and he had probably about 40, 50 head of cattle. He had a hodgepodge. Anybody here work with cows? Okay, he had a hodgepodge. You don't understand what that means? It means he had Charolais, Simmentals, Black Angus. He even had a Brahma. What in the world do you do with a Brahma? Okay, I mean he had all. He had a couple limousines. Those were the wild ones we always had to watch out for. Well, one day I'm out there and he hired me because he kept losing cows. He only had two strands of barbed wire up, and so I'd go and find the cows, bring them back. Well, being the employee, I thought the best thing to do is put up six strands. So I put up six strands of barbed wire. We never lost another cow. One day I'm out there, I'm sinking posts in the ground, and one of the cows goes by, and I see it's got two tails. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means it's giving birth to a calf the wrong way. So I call him up. I said, hey, preacher. I said, hey, you got a cow with two tails out here. He says, oh, no. He said, what number is it? Because they always clip their ears, and they got numbers. They got little tags. I read it off. He goes, oh, yeah, I know which one that is. He said, pull her by her nose towards the barn. And he said, she'll go right in the barn. And I could hear him already telling the vet, hey, I need you. And, of course, the vet's saying, I can't get there, you know, right now. And so, long story short, preacher says, hey, call me when you get to the barn. We get to the barn. She's in there and everything. I call him up. I said, okay, preacher, now what? He says, okay, I want you to go over to the shelf and I want you to look for this big thing of Vaseline. I said, okay. So I walk over to the shelf. I get the Vaseline. I said, okay, now what? He says, I want you to take your shirt off. I said, okay. So I take my shirt off. He says, I want you to lather it up to your shoulder. I get to my elbow. I went, you want me to put my arm where? He says, son, you don't flip that calf. He said, the cow and the calf die. He said, I've already called the vet. The vet's trying to get there. He said,
I'll be there as soon as I can, son, but you got to start the process now without me. Yes, sir. I put my phone over there with my shirt. You know what it's like to have a cow's tail right here? Your arm's up in here. I started feeling around. I felt the head of that calf, and I started pulling. And then I felt the legs, and I started pulling the legs. I mean, I'm working hard at this thing, and I'm pulling. All of a sudden, some of the liquid falls out, and I slip and fall between the legs of this cow, and I'm still holding on to the legs of that calf. I fall down right on my rear end, and the calf falls into my lap, and then all the afterbirth and liquid. And I really don't know how long I sat there in shock, because I wasn't really privy to a lot of the birds and the bees and everything else that goes with that, amen? I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, I have no idea how long I sat there. About that time, the vet shows up with my pastor, my dad. The vet walks over and taps me on the back. He goes, good job, son. Takes the calf from me. Calf lived. It was great. Dad goes, man, you stink to high heaven. You're right in the back of the truck. I know what it's like to work hard. And so do you. See, Ornan's nothing more than a wheat farmer. He's just a farmer. I mean, listen, a farmer goes to work all the time. He's making sure that the fields are plowed and ready for planting. And then they plant the seed. And then they begin to pray and beg God for rain. And I mean, listen, there's a lot of faith that goes into that. All of his investments in the ground, literally. And then when harvest time comes, I mean, you're weeding out all the weeds. Harvest time comes. Now it's time to cut the wheat and everything and take it to the threshing floor. Ornan represents you and I. May I say this tonight? The Word of God is full of just regular people that God desires to use their lives. God desires to use your life as well. If you're just willing to say, Lord, I give it all. Lord, here's my life. There ain't much to it, but it's yours for the taking. So number one, there's representation. Number two, there's realization. Verse 20, and Ornan turned back and saw the angel. And his four sons with him hid themselves. I want you to see that phrase, and Ornan turned back. That means his entire focus was upon that angel of God standing outside his threshing floor. And notice the Bible says the four boys, they hid themselves. Anybody ever seen a painting of an angel? It's always blonde hair and a woman's figure. Now, let's just be realistic, shall we? Four boys ain't going to go hide from that. Okay? But the Bible says those four boys hid themselves. You know why? Because I believe that the very individuals, those that stand in the presence of God, they are something of great intimidation. And they carry a fiery sword. Bible says them four boys, they hid themselves. Amen. All of Ornan's focus is upon this angel. But not only that, but he's seeing literally the judging hand of God taking place. The psalmist said in Psalms 15, verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Now, anytime the psalmist ever used the word seal, it means to think upon these things, to meditate upon it. Let it sink in. Think about this. 70,000 people just died. That means somebody's sons have died. Somebody's fathers have died. Somebody's uncles have died. Somebody's cousins have died. Somebody's best friends have died. And Israel's not that big. How many of y'all ever been to a funeral where you heard the wails and the mourning of a mother that lost a son or a husband? It's a horrific thing. Imagine 70,000 men have died. I'd imagine those four boys weren't only hiding because they saw the angel of God standing outside their threshing floor, but they could probably hear the wails of the women all in the background. 70,000 people died. I don't know how big this county is, but the county that Kelly and I served in Montana, it only had 44,000 people. If they were all males, could you imagine? The entire county would have been wiped out immediately. 70,000 people died. Now, when will you realize that people were dying all around us? When will you realize that? Do you understand that 151,600 people die every day? That's more than 70,000. 151,600 people die every day. That's 2 per second. That's 2 per second. Let me say it this way. Death does not care your skin color. Death does not care how much money you have in the account. Death does not care what language you speak. The Bible says when it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the what? The judgment. How many of you love going to the dentist? Anybody like going to the doctor's office? My dad told me, he says, son, the older you get, you forget your best friend's names and you start remembering your doctor's names. Okay? But listen, 151,600 people die every day. Working with the sheriff's office, working with a funeral home, I've pulled them out. I've pulled toddlers out of swimming pools. I've pulled teenagers out of cars. I've gone to the homes of people that were riddled with disease. I've gone to old folks' homes and taken people that way. Death does not care your age. Does not care anything about you. When that appointment of your time comes, you cannot cancel that appointment like you can with the doctor's office or the dentist. You can't. You cannot outrun death. There was a man who was right here in Texas, living life to the fullest. He was down there on the Riverwalk. Anybody ever been there? And lo and behold, while he's sitting at one of the cantinas, one of those Mexican restaurants, death literally walks up to his table. The man, in great fear, gets up immediately, runs out, gets in a taxi. It takes him all the way to the airport. He gets on the nearest airplane and flies all the way to France. Now, France is like total opposite of Texas. But he's sitting there in some little cafe, drinking coffee. And lo and behold, guess who meets him there at the table? It's Death. Death tells him, he says, you know, it's kind of funny because yesterday I saw you in San Antonio. I already had an appointment with somebody else, and that's what I was there at that restaurant for. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, I have an appointment with you in France, and I was wondering how I was supposed to meet you in France. Get the idea? You cannot outrun death. There's a realization. In the year of 1901, I believe it was, there were some surveys that were done and everything. The statistics show that there was 1.7 billion people in the world at that time. Statistics also showed that there were 54,000 strong that were training for the ministry, men and women that were training for the ministry, whether it was evangelism, missions, pastoring. I mean, buddy, they ate, slept, and drank missions. Well, now we live in the year of 2020. And they're telling us that we have 7 billion people now in the world. If we take that same mathematical equation, we should have over 300,000 strong training for the ministry. We are nowhere near it. We are nowhere near it. Let the realization sink in. There's a great work to be done. Time is of the essence. It's high time that you find your part in the area of world missions. Number three, there's a response. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 21. David came to Ornan. And Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor. Notice it says he went out of the threshing floor. Wait a minute, Brother Saunders. The angel of God's still standing out there. Yes. And David's there now. Yes. See, if you were to read before, you'd find out that David, when it was all said and done, the Bible says this in verse 17, David said to God, is it not I that command the people be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord, my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. And the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. You need to understand something, that when this is all said and done, verse 16, you would read that they were in sackcloth. When 70,000 people die, the Jewish customs of that day and time was you would take off your regular robes and you put on sackcloth. It's itchy. They would throw ashes upon their head. It was to tell everyone, we're in mourning. And all of a sudden, Ornan looks out the window and he sees King David approaching. Now listen, whenever the king approaches, he's not by himself. It's a whole entourage of people. You're talking soldiers. The king never goes anywhere by himself. Probably his mighty men of valor, the staff that's probably with him, they all show up. Ornan looks out and sees King David. The Bible says he runs out there, falls upon his face. It's one of courage. You know, we need this day and time, especially right here at Scenic Hills Baptist Church and right here in the great state of Texas. We need some more men and women of great courage. Men that will stand up. Women that will stand up for what's right. Amen. Men and women that will say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
There was one of response. 2 Samuel 10:12 says, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. We need some more people that'll play the man. There's a response. Number four, there's a readiness. I wonder this evening, how many of us already say, I give it all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, here's the white flag. I'm hoisting it up. I'm done fighting. Lord, it's total surrender. Verse 23. Ornan said unto David, take it thee, let my Lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Now you got to understand something. Verse 20, we see that the four boys, they hid themselves. How many of you are the oldest of your siblings? Will you raise your hands? That's right, we are the elite. How many of y'all are the babies of the family? Raise your hands. Y'all are spoiled. You get whatever you want. Okay? But we know in any family, either the oldest has got enough courage to go and see what dad is doing, or he's got enough brains to send the younger one to go see. Okay? It's one way or the other. I would imagine, why don't we go back in time and we're there in the threshing floor. David just approaches. Ornan's walking out the door. Invariably, you always hear at least one of those kids say, Daddy, where are you going? Daddy, where's Daddy going? Where are the four boys? They're hiding. They're probably hiding in the wheat. We don't know if it's a big pile of wheat. We don't know if it's stalks of wheat. All we know is they're hiding. But I guarantee you they're watching. Now, let me say it this way, parents. Your kids are great judges of character. They always watch what you do, especially even in a missions conference. I wonder what mom and dad are going to do. Yeah, listen, you can take this opportunity to teach your kids what it's like to serve the Lord. And I'd imagine one of those boys, where's Daddy going? He just went outside. King David's here. Well, what are they saying? Well, David says he wants to buy the place. What? Daddy would never sell the farm. Notice verse 22, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant me for the full price that the plague may be stayed from the people. Daddy never sell the farm. And all of a sudden, they hear their daddy speak. Maybe all four of them could hear him. I don't know. All of a sudden, take it to thee. Ornan speaking. Take it to thee. Let my Lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. I give thee the oxen also for the burnt offerings. There's a readiness here now. Daddy would give the oxen away. And it's not just one. It's two. Because they would yoke them together. They would plow the... Those oxen were the modern day John Deere tractor. Anybody ever been on one of those? Yeah. It's the family pets. They'd feed. Those boys probably fed those oxen quite a bit. And here Daddy just said he's going to give them away. Understand this. The oxen was one of the most extravagant sacrifices you could offer to the Lord. Because it was given in its entirety. And Ornan's willing to say, I give the oxen. I give the oxen for the meat offering. I give the oxen for the meat offering. You know what he's saying? I'm willing to give my very best to God. I wonder how oftentimes God speaks to our hearts and we only give him a half-hearted sacrifice. I'm not talking financially. I'm talking everything. You know what Ornan says? I give it all. I give it all. Daddy says he give the oxen away? Well, what else is Daddy saying? And the threshing instruments for the wood. Wait a minute. Daddy just said he's going to give the oxen away. Well, that's not a big deal. I mean, at least we still have our tools. We can always get oxen. We can get some more later. No, Daddy just said he'd give the threshing instruments away. That's all the tools, all the wooden tools. That's everything. Think about it, the plows, the yoke, the sled that they would use that would pull behind on harvest time. They put all the wheat on top of that sled and it would pull it all the way up to the threshing floor. And all those tools were handed down from generation to generation. Daddy said he'd give our tools away? For the wood, you know what Ornan was saying? I'm burning the bridge. I'm not looking back. I wonder how many of us this evening should say, you know what? Light that match. Burn, baby, burn. I'm not looking back. Lord, whatever you want, I'm not looking back. We always sing that song, what? The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Hey, you know what would be good for some of us? Hey, stand by that altar and light the match. Brother Saunders, you don't know what that's like. Yes, I do. I left an incredible church behind. I left a brand new house. My dad told me, he said, son, you ain't even let the paint dry on the walls. You're going to have to sell the place. I left a lot of friends. Our church took good care of us. They loved us.
I said, Brother Nathan, why would you do that? Because the King means more to me than anything else. Light the match. Light the match. What else does he say? He says he gives the oxen. He says he gives the threshing instruments for the wood. And then all of a sudden he says something else. He says, and the wheat for the meat offering. Now all these kids, how many of y'all are parents? You know what it's like to feed kids, right? They'll eat you at a house and home. I'm telling you. Gone are the days where me and Kelly could go to Chili's and eat for less than 20 bucks. Those days are no longer there. Okay? I'm telling you. But those four boys, I could picture in my mind, they're saying, well, you know, I mean, it's not that big of a deal, guys. I know Daddy gave the oxen. Daddy gave our tools away. No more work. Yes! At least we still got all the food. We got the wheat. We're not going to go hungry. Wait a minute, guys. Daddy just said he'd give the wheat away for the meat offering. Well, wait a minute. He already gave the meat. That was the oxen. What was he referring to here as the meat offering in this particular phrase? The meat offering at that point in time was a love offering over and beyond what you had ever given to the Lord. You know what you're saying? Lord, not only am I going to give you my best, not only am I going to burn the bridge, but Lord, I'm going to give you even more because I love you. Amen. I give it all. Nowhere in Scripture will you ever find somebody saying those four little words, I give it all. You hear somebody saying it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's one individual that fulfilled those four words. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. He gave it all. He gave it all. Now, let me ask this question. Ornan, was it really worth giving? Was it worth it? Last of all, the rewards. The rewards. David buys the property. David buys the property. Bible says this, and David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. Sorry, is that really the reward? No. Verse 26, and David built there an altar unto the Lord. Imagine what it was like. He says, I give it all. They deliver him the 600 shekels of gold. And Ornan's got to go back inside that threshing floor and tell those four boys, pack your bags, we're leaving. How many of y'all have ever had to pack up your bags and move somewhere else? I know. We had to help pack up Kevin Renee, and we're still bitter about it. Okay? I'm just joking. Yes, my wife and I did cry that day, he told me, but we're good about it now. Okay? They packed their bags. I can imagine that daddy taking those four boys by their hand, leading them outside, and all those boys, you know what they could see? They could see their King David setting up those 12 stones, setting up that altar. And then all of a sudden, I can imagine some of the mighty men of valor bringing out the threshing instruments and setting the threshing instruments on top of the stones. And here comes some of the staff members or something, bringing out the oxen. One of those mighty men of valor, his hand clave to the sword, pulled out that sword, slit the throats of those oxen and put them on top of that wood. And then the Bible says, right here in verse 26, David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by what? By fire upon the altar of burnt offerings. Listen, you know what? Hey, church members, look at me. Every time you come to Scenic Hills Baptist Church, listen, before you even get here, you know what you ought to pray? Oh God, let the fire of God fall upon that pulpit, upon my man of God when he stands and preaches. God, may the altars be full of people who desire to do business with you. God, I want fire to fall upon my home and upon my family, upon my marriage. Oh God, do a great work in our lives. Them four boys, you know what they got to see? They're standing there holding daddy's hands, and all of a sudden they hear their king cry out to God, and God answers him with fire. You know what them four boys probably did? Wow. I mean, I would. Fire falls from heaven, consumes the two oxen you know that you were just plowing with in the fields. They're gone, buddy. Wow. Now, let's move forward in time. Let's push the fast forward button. Look with me now in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Time has passed. Those little boys are no longer little boys anymore. Now they're probably the same age as Solomon. Solomon is now king. David David is no longer king. Bible says here in verse 1 of chapter 3, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. What is the house of the Lord? Somebody tell me now. Talk to me. It's the temple. It's the temple. This is the very place that God said his presence would abide. We find it here, the Bible says, and where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of who? Ornan the Jebusite. How awesome is that? I can imagine, listen, hey, here's Solomon. He's building the temple. And listen, as beautiful as your church is, it don't scratch the surface to what Solomon's temple looked like. There was gold and silver, I mean, everywhere. Everything was immaculate. Everything was huge. David had saved up so much gold and silver just to give to the building of the temple. Messengers have gone out all over. There's nowhere in Scripture of that time that Ornan had died. I'd picture that he's an old man. Man, I can just envision in my mind, preacher, the date has already been set. For those of us who've planted churches or you're pastoring your very first church or it's your very first service as the pastor, man, it's an exciting time. You've sent out messages to everybody. You want everybody there. Man, I mean, it's exciting. I can imagine my mind Ornan getting up that morning. I can imagine him hobbling into one of his son's rooms. Wake up. We're going back to the farm. And I can imagine those young men are now men with wives of their own and children. I can imagine Ornan saying, wake up, grandkids, wake up, we're going back. And I can imagine them all getting dressed and ready to go to the temple. And there they go hand in hand. And as they approach the place, I can imagine Ornan telling them, look, kids, this is where the fields were, where we would plow the fields and we would grow the wheat. And over here is where we kept all the threshing instruments and all of our tools. And that's where the oxen were and everything. And look at the threshing floor. It's not the threshing floor anymore. It's the temple of God. See, Brother Nathan, was it really worth it for Ornan to say, I give it all? Chapter 3 and verse 1, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord. We read that already. Look over in chapter 7. Look at me in verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the what came down? The fire came down. You know what? Those boys now got to say, wow, God did it again. God did it again. And again, and again. You know what? Every time you come to the house of God, it should be, oh God, let the fire fall. The fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How awesome would it be? And I close with this. How awesome would it be if Scenic Hills Baptist Church would just get a hold of this thing of I given it all? Ornan, was it really worth it? He'd tell you it was worth every decision. I give the oxen, I give the threshing instruments, and I give the wheat. What are you willing to line out right now and say, Lord, here it is. Number one, number two, number three, and then right at the end, to cover it all, I give it all. I give it all.